I don't know what's breaking inside of people's hearts to make them want to hurt so many others. God, I don't know what kind of person could ever want to kill kids. I don't know what kind of person would ever want to go into a mall and do these horrible things that are happening. Lord God, I just pray that you shower these people who are hurting and broken, have lost their families, who have lost their kids, who have lost all of these things, Father God. Lord, I just pray the blood of Jesus on them, and I pray that love can find them. Father God, I pray for our brothers and sisters who believe in the same Jesus Christ as we do in this part of the country that is being hurt, in Connecticut, in Oregon, in Oklahoma, in Las Vegas. Father God, I pray that the body of Christ reaches out and wraps them in love and shows them the answer and the faith in which we proclaim. Lord God, I pray that they reach out and that these people who are broken and hurting and who have lost everything they've ever loved can look and find someone who tells them, Jesus Christ loves you and I am willing to be there with you. Lord God, I pray that the body of Christ reaches out today. Lord, I pray as this Sunday after these tragedies are happening, that when these people go into churches looking for answers, when they go looking for why this could happen and how this could happen and what's wrong with people and why is the earth crumbling, that they look and they see the answer that Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne and that things are going to get harder, but there is a way out. Father God, let the body of Christ arise and wrap these people with love. Lord God, I pray for the families of those who perpetrated this, God, who are saying, I don't know, this isn't the boy that I raised. Father God, we are all just one moment away from being broken. Lord God, I pray for understanding. I pray for understanding that this could happen. I pray for the peace of Jesus Christ on these families. I pray that whenever we talk to someone about these tragedies and they ask us, I don't know how this could happen, that we can tell them Jesus Christ loves you. That the Son of God died so that when these things happen, we can have somewhere to run. Lord God, I just pray peace, understanding. Lord God, let the power of God arise on this planet as things get worse. Lord Jesus, we just pray for these broken families. Lord God, let us hug our families closer. But let us not forget that there are still those who are out there who are broken and who are searching for hope and help, just like we did one day. Lord God, let us be willing to look like a fool and to say that this is the God that we serve. Lord God, times like this are so hard. When we were all around during 9/11, when we were around with Virginia Tech, when we were all around during these times, people are looking for answers. Lord, I just pray that we can help be the answer. Give us boldness, Father God. Just pray that the body of Christ arises, Lord. In your name we pray today. Amen. All right. Oh, man. Such craziness. Such craziness going on. Oh. Before we start, thank you. For all this stuff. What's there to say besides thank you? The fact that a handful of people in a room could put this together is nothing but a miracle. And to know that a handful of people in this room who are one paycheck away from being on the streets can do this makes me even more proud. I know that nobody in here is a millionaire, and that nobody in here even has money set aside somewhere. But I think that God's going to honor this. I really hope so. That's a pretty amazing thing. It's cool, to say the least. It's neat. And it's good. It gives people purpose and passion. It shows that Christ cares for someone and that you're giving out of what you have even though it's not much. And when everybody does that, I mean, look what you got. Me and Randy were over at a Bible study the other day, and this guy was like, you know, I was part of this survey. It was part of Methodists, Catholics, and he listed like all these churches, and he said black, white, Hispanic, Filipino, all these different things. And he said, and across the board, The statistic looked the same, that 15% of the people did 80% of the work. Was that right, Randy? Or something like that. It was like between 10 and 20% of the people in the church did near 100% of the work. Something along that. But this, if you look at this, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I would bet every last dollar that I had, that 15% of this room, knowing how much money we have, would produce like this. You know, like, that's cool. I know that no one person could produce, you know, all of this. But that it's like a body that goes hand in hand, you know, like every person picked something and they were willing to give, you know, whatever they had. And this is what you wind up with. It's neat. I'm not saying we got it all right. I'm just saying that for this piece, I'm just saying that people gave out of their hearts and that we wound up with this. I don't think anybody has it all right, but this I can look at and say, this is right. Because when you look at this, there's no way you can look at this and go, that's definitely wrong. So, praise God. He's amazing. There's something moving like, I don't usually like to use fancy spiritual words or anything like that, but there is definitely a incredible amount of testimonies that I have seen. For all those of you who were here last Sunday, you know, you got to see that there are some really crazy testimonies going on. So I just want to give the mic out. I love that. It's like, you know, it's like the apostles, you know, Jesus's 12, when they'd go out, what they did was they would go to somewhere and they would share their testimony and it would encourage someone. And then that person would share their testimony and it would encourage somebody else. So in some way, it's almost like we're repeating this process. Because when someone gives a testimony, the next person who goes along goes, yeah, I saw this thing too. So anyway, I just want to give the mic open. If anybody has a testimony, please don't feel obligated. But I can definitely see that God is moving in ways. I'll give another one shortly. But if anybody else has a testimony, anybody have a testimony today?
I just wanted to praise the Lord. Yesterday I got to spend the whole day with my nephew, and he's here today. And actually, I get to spend most weekends with him. And it's such a blessing to me because he's my sister's little boy. And my sister's been missing in action for years. And she has another son that I was very close to, like I am with Jacob. And I haven't seen him in years since she's been gone. And being with Jacob kind of reminds me of that time redeemed, that relationship redeemed. It gives me hope. And I feel very humbled and blessed that I get to have this relationship with him. I feel like it's a gift and it's precious. And I'm very thankful to God for it. And I pray for my sister's salvation and redeeming that time with my other nephew, Josh.
I just want to say that, you know, it's actually kind of a praise because we didn't know if we'd be able to spend a couple nights during the Christmas with the dreams, and we're going to be able to because we made a way. Well, actually, Mama Doreen actually made a way for, you know, to get us to get our meds in the morning on the 24th, Christmas Eve, because we weren't going to be able to get a couple of them. So God made a way for the Mama and Papa Doreen to be able to get us to do that so we could spend more time with them. So I just wanted to say that's awesome.
Anybody else?
Anybody else?
I just want to thank God for the message
and the things that have been happening, the very heart of God is to lift up those that are downtrodden. And as a church, there's nothing better for us than to see God at work. We need it as much as they need it. And I just really thank God for it.
I agree. Elaine, it's exactly how I feel. Whenever we help somebody out, I feel like almost selfish to ask, because it's such a blessing when you see. It's almost like when you teach a kid something. You teach that kid something, but you know they'll probably forget it in a year. But the person that really remembers it is you, because you'll never forget that moment. So when you see somebody who's down on their luck like that, and you're like, I ain't got nothing to offer, but you know, it wasn't too long ago when I was down on my luck, and hey, I love you, bro. It's like, what else is there to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, things have been going so much greater. It's just getting progressively better. I'm so used with my life, everything kind of getting progressively worse and then just kind of staying in a bad place. But I'm starting to notice that things are getting a lot better. The closer I draw to the Lord, the closer, the more that he seems to show me how much he's willing to give and how much he's willing to love me back. And it's just amazing what he's done. I know that I don't deserve anything that he has given me, and that's what humbles me. That's what makes it so, I want to say humiliating, or makes me feel so humble about it, because when I think about all the wonderful things he's given me and I think about what I deserve, you know, I don't deserve any of it. So I'm just so grateful for all that he has done through people and all that he's allowing me to do to serve him. And it's just been a wonderful blessing, and having a family and just being able to work out our differences and try to make things better along the way. And just the fact that he's going to not know what it's like to not have a father or a mother, you know, that's the most wonderful blessing to me, you know, that he doesn't have to go through that. And I'm just so grateful for everything. And God is just so wonderful.
Well, many of you know I live in two places. I live in Wisconsin and I live here. And
I just want to, yeah, I know, right? I just want to end up saying, you know, I come from a place that's, you know, real dark. It's crazy being homeless, doing everything. And I gave the testimony about the urban camping ban. And, you know, they asked me to end up helping out on the list. And I'm touched with, you know, how much there is people out here that give, you know, what they can. And I come here and I end up looking at this, and it makes me moved, man. It makes me, like, know that... everybody says there is no God, but this goes and shows right here that God's in us all. And I really am very truthfully moved that I could end up being a part of this congregation and say thanks. And I love you guys.
Well, as some of you guys have noticed, I don't want to put you on the spot, but sure. As some of you guys have noticed, we've had somebody with us a few times since in the last couple weeks. So this is Jessica, and she is staying with us. She is our family now, which means she is your family now. So make her feel loved and welcome. She's a huge testimony, and we'll share that later. Just not time for it yet. So.
Anybody else? Right on. That was the scripture I was going to use earlier, but God said not to, which is, you know, I was on the phone with Nate early this morning, and I told him that he could take the glory and that he could share that verse, that regardless of what you do, it's profitless without love, as that's what my Bible says, that you can do anything you want, doesn't mean anything without love, and, you know, anybody who's ever even been homeless, you know, not just these guys, but, you know, a lot of our congregation has been homeless in one way or another. Organizations don't impress anybody most of the time. You can do anything you want, and you can be as big as you want. There's giant organizations that everybody just goes, thanks. But then there's people who walk around, you know, like, I heard a story about a guy who was downtown, and he had packaged up, like, some pizza or something like that, and he was handing it out. And he would just tell people that he loved them. I would probably assume to believe that he was a believer of Christ. But even if he's not, it doesn't make a difference. Because what he was doing was touching people, and people were talking about it days later. And, you know, you can go, the phrase that I hear a lot is, if you starve in Denver, you're stupid. Because there's, right? Because there's a lot, yeah. See? See? If you starve in Denver, you're stupid, you know? But what makes certain organizations different from others, you know, we hear rumors about Dry Bones all the time. I've never been there, but I can tell you what. I hear their testimonies all the time. I hear people talk. I'm talking kind of vague here, so I'll elaborate. Dry Bones is an organization that takes gutter punks and street kids that have been thrown away, and basically they do nothing more. Then they invite them to play bowl. You guys go bowling and like pizza and like they hang out with them.
We go bowling every Thursday. We have a set up time to go down there, go to a bowling alley. Then after the bowling alley, we come back to where we end up picking up the bus at and then feed us every Thursday.
And let me tell you what, I've never heard anybody say, I get so sick and tired of Dry Bones preaching at us or anything like that. I've never heard anybody say, actually, you know what? Does Dry Bones even talk about Jesus?
No.
I was going to say, but.
They actually end up on their, next Sunday I'll have to bring their hoodies that they give out.
I'd like that.
And it's got, what is it?
It's Ezekiel 33?
Or something like that.
Story of the Dry Bones, right? See, that's it. You know, it's like Dry Bones. Everybody knows what, you know, like Dry Bones does. They're family. And you can talk about Dry Bones almost anywhere, and everybody goes, yeah, it's Dry Bones. That's family, you know? And Dry Bones is changing people's lives without having to preach at them because they're being the preaching. Like, their life, they look at people who are down and out of their luck, and they're like, you're our family. You know, we're no different than you. You know? All they want to do is just, like, lift you up and give you something that they have to offer. That's it. You know, it's like, that is a testimony. That is something that changes. But, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it sounds almost silly to say, let's go show people the love of Jesus in this way. I actually watched a video about Dry Bones, and they were talking about that they wanted to go out and they wanted to touch somebody's life, but they didn't really know what to do, which I get that feeling all the time. So this is what they did. They just said, let's just do something. So they said, let's just do something that they probably don't get to do. So they went and they rented a bowling alley and got some pizza. And they said, and we thought that we were going to be like sharing scriptures with them and trying to do these things. But instead, they just became our family. That's it. Like, I mean, and I can, like he said, there's probably 100+ organizations downtown who people refuse to go to a lot of the time. But then there's places like that who show the love of Jesus in one simple way. They give what they have. They show the love of Christ. And in doing that, it changes people's hearts. He is your son.
Yeah, he is my son. That was one of the things. But, you know, no matter where you are in life, I mean, even, you know, with this ministry, all y'all could end up coming, and they'd end up being just as much impressed with you guys helping out, you know, doing what y'all did right there. They end up doing the same exact thing. They end up trying to give out hand warmers. They try to keep everybody warm during the winter. It's just, you know, everybody gets touched by the Lord himself, and nobody wants to take credit for it.
That's it, man. There's a scripture that reminds me of that. And it says, when you give without the right hand knowing what the left hand is doing. And that's what we're doing. Let me tell you what, Dry Bones is doing some work down there. And I'm sure, you know what, there are probably dozens of other organizations that are doing amazing work that I haven't heard about. So praise God for them too. But, you know, we don't know about them, they don't know about us, but God is using us all as one. That's the story of the cross, like right there. I was talking with Tabitha about this. She'll probably be embarrassed that I even mentioned her name up here, but it does not matter. Whenever she listens to this, I'm very sorry, Tabitha, and I love you with all of my heart and soul. Anyway, most of the time I talk about things that most people don't. They're kind of different. Anyway, in going with testimonies, I'll share my testimony, and then I want to have Randy give a testimony that he knows a lot better than I do. And I told him about this morning, and he has not been preparing at all. He has no idea what I'm going to even have him talk about, so cut him some slack, too. Anyway, quick testimony. I told you guys about the guy named Jonathan who's at the Bible study that I'm at with. He's like another one of my brothers. Super awesome guy. Just, I love the guy with all my heart. Just like, I don't know how to describe him. He's just a cool cat. Like, he's a great guy. He's like, I would treat him exactly the same as I treat anyone of you. He's family, like, instantly. Anyway, but we've been going to this Bible study at Grace, I don't even know what it's called. So we've been going to this Bible study by Randy's house. We've been going to this Bible study, and just some really, really cool testimonies. Like, I told you about the testimony with Casey, how cool that was. We talked to Uncle Doug, and I was talking to him. I haven't even told Randy this, but Doug came up to me, and he had like tears in his eyes, and he says, "So you talked to Casey?" And I was like, "Yeah, I talked to Casey." And he goes, "Whenever you get a hold of her again," he said, "will you just have her try to call her dad?" He goes, he put it this way, you know, her dad's kind of, I won't like describe this, his story, but basically, let's put it this way. The dad didn't pay attention to Casey in the way that might have helped some troubles. We'll just put it that way. He's not the best dad in the world, but he's doing what he's got. Anyway, but this is what this said to me, because this reminded me of Jesus. He said, "Me and her dad were getting ready to go and camp out on Colfax for a week until we found Casey." I'm looking at, like, you know, this is a guy, and he's got like he had like a nice shirt, you know, like he's just a nice looking guy. And I just picture this guy who has a house, who has a family, who has a church, who has all these different things, and he says this. He says, "I'm going to go for a week. If I can't find my niece, I'm going to pitch a tent on the worst street in the United States. Like, you know, most people will say that Colfax, the stretch of most of Colfax, is one of the worst streets in all the United States. I get this picture of this man who has a home, who's going to stoop himself down to come to the level to reach out and show love to someone who is lost. Does that sound like the same story that we all profess? The Son of God coming down from a great place, a place in heavenly kingdoms, coming down, stooping down to our level, becoming one of us, reaching his hand out and telling us, I love you. Anyway, so I don't even think he realized what a testimony to me. But that was a testimony to me because that's the heart of God. It's like what Elaine said. That's the heart of God right there. Stooping yourself down to get off your high horse so that you can reach out and touch someone's life. It's as simple as that. There's too many gifts to give to the homeless that are in my way. Praise God. Another cool one. I was telling the guys that were at men's group on Friday. Every once in a while, God gives me a little bit of like a chastening, I guess is the fancy word, but basically a little pat on the butt to say, hey, you know, like step up, like, you know, like what's wrong with you kind of thing. That's kind of how God talks to me. So we have these boxes right here that have stuff to give donations and stuff like that. And Jeff had taken one to Little Patch of Heaven, which, those of you who don't know, it's an old folks' home. It's an assisted living facility. Now, when Jeff took this, me and my great wisdom said, well, that's kind of stupid. You know, like, what do these people have to give? You know, they're living in a room. They don't have any possessions. They have no money to their name. They don't have anything. What are these people going to give that will help anybody? So pompous sometimes. Forgive me, God. But God showed me something. God showed me something that put me back in check. So I'm at Jeff's old folks' home helping hang Christmas lights for the 8th time. I didn't make that up. You can ask him later. It's a true fact. Anyway, and Jeff says this. Jeff said, he shows me this box, and this box, you know, this is a big box, and there's like stuff all the way to the top, and he goes, you're going to have to empty this out. And I go, you know, like, what's happening? Like, what did I miss? I'm like, oh, one of the workers, you know, filled it up with stuff like that. And, oh, man, so pompous, such a fool. Forgive me, God. Anyway, he starts telling me the story of a guy named Michael. And Michael is a guy who is as old is. No? Which one is Mike?
Mike is 39. He's mentally handicapped.
That Mike. I thought it was the older Mike.
The one with the little beard.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yep.
Very okay, I thought it was the old Mike.
Very sweet.
Even better. Okay, so that makes it even more humbling. So Mike is a mentally handicapped man who's in an assisted living home. Ugh. Ugh. Excuse me, goosebumps. God bless Michael. Oh my gosh. Please bless him, Lord. Please bless him. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's an amazing, I didn't know that. Bless him, God. Anyway, so that's amazing. It's like there's so many heroes that we look over. So Jeff goes, there's this guy, Mike, who I didn't know was an orphan, who had been thrown in the street, who's mentally handicapped, who was homeless for like 8 years or something like that, I think Jeff said, who was homeless. And Jeff picks up this coat, and it was probably a several hundred dollar coat in its heyday. And it's this thick leather coat. Like, I'm talking a thick son of a gun. And he says, this is what Michael told me. Michael said, when I was on the streets, this coat kept me warm. And he says, I have four walls and a warm place to stay. I want to give this to people who don't have it. And he took all of his coats and all of his stuff and filled this up, just one guy. And I think about this guy and I go, wow, you know, like, God will show you where your heart is at. And he showed me where my heart is at. So that was a testimony that touched my heart. And that basically showed me, that's what you get for thinking. Like, really, I mean, when you try to picture how this stuff's going to work, it's not possible. But out of that box, I've already emptied it 3 times. So, shows what I know. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's so cool. So back to Tabitha. We were talking yesterday. We were helping them do their stuff for their party. No, 2 days ago, because I was the only one there. And I started talking to Tabitha about Israel and the story of Israel and about the greatest miracle that everyone has not seen, which is the story of Israel, which is where I'm going to bring Randy up here so you can kind of hear. Can you give like a short little glimpse of how Israel, after 2,000 years, wound up giving? It kind of inspired me because I watched, I mean, there's been eight fatal shootings in the past 2 weeks. And you look around and you see like the depravity of mankind and like how the United States is nothing but a joke now and how it looks like it's all going to fall apart any day. And how even if it did, so be it. It's well out of our plan. But I was telling Tabitha this. I said, do you know what? I said, God can do anything because after 2,000 years of Israel wandering around, they have a place to be. So basically I was just thinking about how the United States is on the decline, but how Israel is yet still standing, and we all got to be a witness to that.
Actually, you got this. Can you hear? Hello, 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 hello. You can hear me? Okay. I don't know all the details of this. I think I probably forget a few because in kind of a low moment, I started trying to search for God and trying to see sort of like the big picture of everything. Maybe you can get a little deluded when you see a lot of hype coming around and, you know, not to say that this doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, when you see somebody say, you know, one of my feet was like this much taller than the other foot and then it grew out, you know, I mean, you see hype and that might have happened, but I wanted to see something big, so I started looking back at history and started finding out, you know, the Israelites, they were everywhere. You know, you read the scriptures in the Bible. When they talked about the world here, you know, you were thinking, oh, okay, there was a couple thousand miles, you know, this way and this way and this way, but in the 100 years ago. The Israelites were everywhere. They were consuming the entire earth. They spread out everywhere, okay? And prior to the Second World War, you know, I can't give you all the details. This would probably be some interesting research, and, you know, I'm kind of forgetting some of the actual dates. But they call it an aliyah, where it means to ascend. And I think you guys know people that have done aliyah, right? Prior to World War II, a lot of aliyahs were occurring at different places in the earth, and I can't even tell you like all of the conditions, but there seemed to be some sort of pressure that was pushing the Israelites, the Jews, back to Israel. So they started flooding in, right? They started coming in from these different places. Actually, I have a scripture here that I want to pull it up. In the end of Isaiah. But the Israelites are starting to come in all these in all of these directions, right? And then of course when the World War happens, after the World War, I think the British, they were in control of Israel, right? Well, they gave Israel back, with the exception of like Jerusalem and certain places and stuff, back to the Jews. Because they decided the Jews need to have some place to stay when they got, because they started coming out of Europe, all right. And then in 1948, it was more than 2,000 years since Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah came in, and then I forget. Here's some more details that you can research or ask Jerry about. At a certain point, Israel became the Romans, right? So even in Jesus' time, Israel really didn't have Israel. So after more than 2,000 years in our lifetime, you can talk to people in our lifetime that were there the day when Israel became a nation. And I think it satisfies this scripture. Who has searched these things? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to be give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? So in 1948, the Israelites come back, and all of a sudden you see this gigantic flood of Israelites come back to Israel. All right? Now, we're somewhat many years later. You know, there's been many wars in Israel. I think some of you might have heard of the Six-Day War. I always think the Six-Day War, okay, that's something, because on the seventh day they must have rested, right? And then they get Jerusalem back, right? All right, so now here we are, you know, a few years later. Okay, so it's 60-odd something years later. And I was looking at some of the statistics, and I thought, okay, so how many Jews are there on the earth? Well, there's something like 13 million of them, right? I think right now there's about, and they're still sprinkled out around the planet. So I think about 6 or 7 million of those are in Israel. And do you know where the majority of the rest of them are? Here. United States. So I don't know where Andy wants to go with that, but
well, that none of us knew about, right? That most of us looked over. This was something I was thinking about the other day, because I was watching this goofy show. It's called Doomsday Preppers, and it's a bunch of people who are like preparing for the end of the world. But there was a Jew. And the Jew was preparing for the end of the world, and it was cool because the Jew was preparing in his rabbinical ways. Like, he had to have kosher things to survive, and he had to have all these different things. But at the end of the show, they updated it, and this is what the Jew says. He says, they were like, well, how's your prepping going, and how's this? And the Jew says this. He says, well, some things have happened in the United States recently, and this was before these last two shootings. He says that, and this was, you know, maybe this was like 2 weeks ago, I think. But so before all this stuff starts going on, he said, some things have started happening in the United States, and me and my family are getting ready to go back to Israel. So, okay, I know this is kind of a vague like string theory kind of thing, okay? But I want you to see what is happening, okay? If we all had somewhere to go outside of the United States with the way things are going, the good number of odds is we'd probably go there. Because you can look around and go, there are some crazies out there who are hurting a lot of people. Okay? You do not have to be a prophet. You do not have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a sheepdog. You don't have to be any of those things to see this. You can look around and you can go, there is something that is happening in the United States that is peculiar and that is pushing people to something. Okay? I mean, I know this is a little vague right now, but things are not getting better at all. I mean, when Columbine happened, everybody about fell over and passed out. Now we see, you know, 20 kids get shot in a school, and it's just like, wow, that's really terrible. Okay? Things are getting so bad that we're getting so immune to how savage the things that are happening. Okay? And I want you to see what perhaps this might look like, okay? Things are going to get worse in the United States. That's a fact. You can look around. You can look outside. Anybody can know that. Your money's worth less. The people are going nutty. Regardless of our president, the United States is going down. Gas prices is up. Food prices is up. Employment is down. I mean, if you said that, that's enough to say that things are getting worse, okay? What this is doing is this is creating a pressure cooker that is going to make something amazing happen. Okay, the rest of these Jews, I am just telling you, they're going to get pushed back home. And when that day happens, it's time for us to shine. Because us, the Gentiles that God picked up, we're left. When the Jews leave, guess who gets to show Christ to everybody? Us. Because we're what's left. When Jesus talks about calling the remnant back to Zion, that's us. Okay. So I just wanted to share that with you because that's what's been on my heart. It goes without saying that I didn't have a big sermon planned, but God showed me this, and that's what when I was praying half awake, half asleep this morning, he kept putting in my head over and over again. He kept putting it over and over, was that goofy guy's face. And I know it may sound crazy to say that I'm talking about miracles that I saw on a television show, but God can do what God will do. So I just have one scripture that I want to read. We have so much to do today, and praise God for that. Also, I was just thinking about, like what Kingston was saying, and he was talking about, that we have shown what the love of God is. That you don't have to prove to someone what God is, but that you can just be Jesus. That's it. It's so simple. And it reminds me, the scripture, can you pull it up, Romans 10:9? Romans 10:9. I read it the other day, and I went, God, you are so simple, and we are so complex. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in him your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. There's nothing more complicated than that. There's nothing you have to do that can make you more or less. The second that happens, God starts changing. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. The second you do that, all you do is reach out. When that person says, the love of Jesus showed me, or God showed me through these people this, the Holy Spirit starts working off all the rough edges. That's none of our business. There's nothing we can do or say that can make someone more or less saved. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that saved us, that polished our edges out a little bit more. And that's it. There's nothing. It's whenever somebody says, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved this, or, you know what? I struggle on a daily basis. I am still a man. And I am not perfect in any way, shape, or form. I am as imperfect as anybody on this planet. But when I think about Christ and the love that he showed me, I confess that his son died for me. Without saying those fancy words, I just go, basically this, I know you're alive, Jesus, and I can see you're working. And that's what that scripture says right there. And the Holy Spirit comes in and he goes, you know what? You know this is wrong. And I go, yes, I know this is wrong. And then he says, I'm going to help you with this, which is wrong. And I go, okay. It's that simple. You know what I mean? So it's, we look at somebody, you know, because you look at, we consider these pastors, you know, who like, you know, like me or something like that, who stand up here as to be like, to have more knowledge that I can impart to you. That is not true. Okay? All I am is just following my feet right up here. I'm just sharing what God showed me this morning, yesterday morning, whatever that is, and sharing whatever testimonies I've seen recently. It's nothing more than that. I'm not more saved than any of you. I'm not more perfected than any of you. All that happens is I know that Jesus died for me. I know that he forgave my sins, and he's polishing my rough edges out, and a lot of the time I pick them back up, and then he polishes them out. It's that simple. Okay. Okay. Do you guys want to hear something cool? Okay. There are some cool testimonies. I'll just share one more. Let me do this real quick she can pull this up. Will you have Noel pull up that Crowder song, you know, the new one that I've been listening to?
Yeah.
All right. I say this because a couple weeks ago, I was having a rough night. And I just basically said this. Maybe I have an addictive personality or something like that. But I hear one song and it sticks in my head over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I pray to that song over and over and over and over again. And a couple weeks ago, I was having a rough night. I think it was right about Thanksgiving when my family came back together. It's sometimes you just, like I said, I'm not perfect. I am just a man. But I go to iTunes, and one of my favorite guys is named David Crowder. He's kind of crazy looking. He has a big beard, and he's a little out there. So he reminds me in some ways of myself. He's a little edgy, and not a lot of people get him. But he did a bluegrass album, which I was completely uninterested in. And I was like, oh man, that's a bummer. He put on a new album and I don't care about it at all. But he put one song on there that I think most of us know. And I know that probably the ones of us that are older know it. I will play it later. Does anybody remember The Old Rugged Cross? So that's been in my head over and over and over and over again. I'll share my testimonies, then she can play, because I know this is complicated, and she might not even be able to do it. Hey, Bug, if not, Savannah has my music bullet, and that will be loud enough for people to hear. Will you find Lena or Savannah? They have my music bullet. All right. Anyway, the Bible study. All right, so we're at this Bible study, and one of the main leaders there, I'm talking to him, and he comes up to Randy and I, and he says this. So basically, we shared the testimony about Casey. And then all of a sudden, nothing. We spent an hour. This Bible study is supposed to go from 6 to 8. It was longer than that. I take that back. It was 2 hours. We spent 2 hours going around the room and people sharing their testimonies of the goodness of God and what he's doing. Okay? So much so that the leader is starting to go like, he's like trying to shut it down. He's like, because he like wanted to share like, you know, what God had shown him and stuff like that, you know, which is more power to him. But basically, anyway, this. We spent 2 hours testifying that God is working in every single one of our lives and that God is not dead and that he is alive. Okay, so we spend this. So we're getting ready to walk out. Randy had to give somebody a ride home. I was talking to Jonathan, and this guy comes up who's one of the leaders, and he looks at me and he says, I haven't seen God work like this in well over 2 years. He says, I haven't seen testimonies like this, and I can't remember how long. He said, God is doing something right now, and I don't know what it's for, but I haven't seen God move like this in a long time. And you can see it in our body right here. I can tell you what, I have been a part of this church since its foundation, so 7, 8 years, however long we've been here, and I have not seen God do the same miracles like we're seeing. It feels like every time I move, like God's got my back, and we're seeing miracles upon miracles. And it's like Elaine said, it feels like God's imparting his heart into us. Nothing more than that. We're all imperfect. But God's just trying to get us to show what he's trying to do. So anyway, and another cute part of the story, I told the guy, I wound up with a guy in my group who is separated from his wife now after 30 years. So I got to share my testimony with him. And he said it changed his heart, and he felt very humbled. And he says that he is going to humble himself, and he's going to talk to his wife. So glory to God how a terrible circumstance can show you where you're supposed to be. And then when I told him how old he was, he laughed in my face. That's a fact. It was very cute, and it was very funny. But it just goes to show you that God is moving, and that regardless of what you do, just make a move, and God will back you if it's the right move. Do you have my music bullet? It might give you feedback, but give it a shot. Okay. If it's back here, it'll be okay. I hope this means something to somebody today. That's right, just hand me my phone. I got the shotgun up there. I hope this means something to somebody today, because this keeps playing in my head over and over, and I just pray that maybe today somebody gets something out of it. Thank you, my brother. You did. All right, let's see if we can make this work. It seems kind of foolish. Sometimes I wonder why God makes me act so foolish sometimes, but I think about this stuff, and I hear things like that, and that's exactly how I feel. I just feel like I'm clinging to an old, dirty piece of wood that's going to save me somehow. Oh, thank you, God. A pastor that I listened to a lot said it like this. He said it was Christmas time, and he was at a church of 5,000 or so, some big odd thing like that. Excuse me. But he was at this big church, and he said they started decorating the cross. And he says, I humbly went over to the pastor. I was very upset. And he said, sir, would you mind not decorating the cross? And he says, well, why is that? And he says, that dirty bloodstained piece of wood saved everyone on the planet. Can we please not make it look like a Christmas tree? So it's not saying that he did anything perfect or that he like pointed something out. I'm just saying, an old bloodstained piece of wood that had a bunch of criminals die on it saved the world. So far be it for us to know how miracles are working and things like that. All right. The world is in turmoil. I'm just going to read this scripture. It basically talks to itself. If everybody will flip to Isaiah 17, please. We have spare Bibles if anybody wants one. If not, I don't care. It's going to be up on the screen. The burden against Damascus. That's what this is called. The burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. Okay, pause. Okay, Damascus. Damascus.
Syria?
Just pick one. Okay, real quick. Damascus is the capital of
Syria.
Has anybody seen what is happening in Syria recently? A civil war is happening, and they're preparing to be destroyed. I'm just telling you right now, if those fools mess with Israel bad enough, Israel is going to put a world of hurt down on those guys. But just really quick, I don't like to like try to prove to everybody that the Bible's true, because everybody in this room, I believes that. So Damascus right now is not a city any longer, okay? There is not a government that is controlling Damascus right now. It is run by rebels, okay? Back when they were bombing Israel, back when Syria was launching rockets at Israel, the Syrian rebels came and they took I don't even know how to describe how much they took, but they took an entire arms cache. They took tanks, they took missiles, they took AKs, they took it all, and they took over Damascus, okay? They're already talking about renaming it, but I haven't heard it be officially said yet. So I just wanted to stop there and show you that, because I think it's very neat that we can see this happening. So, I mean, if you look around, you hear that, you know, Syria is doing this and doing that, but regardless, Damascus is in front of our eyes, not becoming a city any longer. As of right now, it is run by rebels. They're fighting over it as we speak. All right. The cities of Aor are forsaken. They will be for the flocks, which will lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress will also cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as glory of the children of Israel. So what he's trying to say here is as we all see Syria as this world power right now, it's going to be Israel's war trophy soon. Okay? That's what it's saying right there. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his flesh will grow lean. This talks to the United States right now. Okay? The United States was fat. Okay? Back, you can talk to anybody. Back in the 70s and the 80s, people were making so much money they didn't know what to do with it. Okay? That's why cocaine spiked as crazy as it did in the 70s and the 80s. Cocaine was out of this world expensive, and it was everywhere because everybody had so much money that they didn't know what to do with it. And as anybody will say, if you give a kid money, they will make dumb decisions with it. And we are all just a bunch of kids. Okay? So right now, we see that the United States is losing weight. Unemployment is on the rise. Homelessness has tripled over the past few years. You can ask any one of these guys. There are more homeless on the streets this year than anybody's ever seen. I was talking to a guy that's saying that the rescue mission no longer has beds. They took all the cots out. They just roll mats out. Thousands of people in there. Okay, the Salvation Army is about to do the same thing. On any given night, there are 1,500 beds at homeless shelters, and they're taken up within a few hours. Okay, approximately a few thousand people are left over on the streets. Okay, be it the river, be it 16th Street, be it any one of those things. Okay, they're starting to now ship people into Aurora. Oh man, now that I mentioned that, I have another testimony. Praise God. They're shipping people to a rec center in Aurora because it's so bad. Okay, speaking of Aurora, Ron Bland isn't here. I was going to have him give this testimony, but he's not here, so I'll give it for him. Okay, Ron Bland works around the police department, you know, the all these different things. But he was talking, he went to this pastor's conference, and it was actually not really a pastor's conference, but they brought a bunch of pastors in, and they brought a bunch of cops in. Okay, so they're all sitting in this room, and Ron Bland starts giving his testimony. So he's giving his testimony to all these cops, you know, that, you know, I that's one of the reasons I love Ron. He's, you know, all sleeved up. He's got his face all tattooed, and he's got all these things. And I can just picture all these Denver cops and Aurora cops who are slightly prejudicial. Okay. They'll shoot you if you have a pop can in your hand. Okay. I can picture these guys who have lost hope. Okay. Those guys, let me tell you what. Me and Joe and Nate saw something the other day that was very, very, very sad. Like Kingston was talking about with the urban camping ban, there was a bunch of homeless guys that they have to wake up, okay? It's what they do. They go see these guys. Walk. If they're laying down in the night, they have to wake them up and get them moving, okay? Now, what we saw was a really kind human being in a police officer uniform who took his time trying to wake these people up. He had to follow his job, though, okay? He's got a family to feed, and he's got to wake these guys up, and he didn't want to do it. So he was very courteous. He was very kind. He goes over. He's like, hey, guys, you know, there's the ban. I need you to start waking up, and I have to stay here until you guys move along. He waited there probably 15, 20 minutes for these guys to move. And it moved me because it's so easy to get down on everybody. And like I said, it's because it's so, we're just judgmental, starting with me. And those cops didn't make it. They didn't make that rule. And there's a lot of them that are jerks. But there are some really good guys out there who are stuck enforcing something that's really, really, really lousy. And this guy was one of them. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's a side note that touched my heart also. And I remember it touched Joe and Nate too, because we were like, that guy's got to make his family eat too, you know? He's got to feed his family somehow. Anyway, so he's at this conference, and he gives his testimony. And afterwards, the chief of police for Aurora is talking to Ron, which is already a big testimony because, you know, most people don't like to talk to Ron because Ron looks different. Anyway, so he's talking to him, and they're talking about they have this, it's almost like a don't ask, don't tell, but you're not allowed to share the gospel if you're on the clock kind of thing. So he's talking with Ron about that. And they're talking about testimonies. Well, it turns out that the police chief is a believer, which is very cool. So this is what he tells Ron. He says, I have told all of the people on my staff, and I'll tell you the same thing. You can say whatever you want about Jesus as long as you give him another option. He says, so you can say anything you want. He says, you can preach Christ at the top of your lungs. He says, as long as you don't say that that's the only thing that they can do. So he can say, you know, you can do this, or let me tell you about what my God did for me. From the chief of police. So, anyway, so, I'm sorry. United States going down, cutting the fat off. Okay? All of that. Yet gleaning grapes will be left in it. Like the shaking of an olive tree, two or three leaves at the top of the uttermost bough. Four and five in the most fruitful branches, says the Lord God of Israel. Does anybody see that happening right now? Can you imagine the United States, everybody knows, is the most prosperous country in the entire world. The United States has more money than they know what to do with. There are guys with college degrees. There are guys who have spent 20, 30, 40 years working who now are working at McDonald's if they can get a job there. You can just see these guys going to this fruitful tree and they're shaking at it. And they're like, please give me something. And they're like, I know you're a fruitful tree. And three olives drop off. The Lord is cutting the fat off. You can see this happening today. In that day, a man will look to his master, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the works of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. In that day, his strong cities will be as forsaken bow, an uppermost branch, which they left because the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. Okay? Everybody can see this happening. Everybody can see this happening. This isn't just me. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, therefore you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. In that day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins. In that day of grief and desolate sorrow, woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like a roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like a rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush like a rushing of many waters. But God will rebuke them, for they will flee far away and be chased like chaff off of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then behold, at eventide, trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder, us, and the lot of those who rob us. Okay, we can see this happening today, but what does it say at the end? Paul said it the other day at men's group, we don't fight against flesh and blood. None of us are the president of the United States, therefore we're not going to change anything, because God put that man in there, whether it's to make us lean or whether it's to not. None of us can change that because that's an earthly thing. Everybody who's ever been in, you can ask Jeff, any form of government, any of those things, it's corrupt and nobody's making any big changes anytime soon. Our battle is to pick up those who are lost, to pick up those who are broken, to help those who are like this stuff. Sean was showing me, there's a lady downtown who used to work at his law firm back when him and her were both paralegals at the time. And she's on the streets now. It's happening everywhere. Okay? This is our job. Our job is to pick these people up. I'm not saying, you know, like, pick people up and endanger your family. I was talking with Kingston about this stuff. I'm not saying just pick anybody up, you know, like, and throw them in your house and, like, you know what I'm saying? Follow what the Spirit tells you to do. Follow your gut. Okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to say we're to be the love of Christ to these people. That's it. Absolutely. With whatever you have to give. What'd you say? Gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. Okay? Also, last testimony, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to get to the cool part of today, which is doing this, because this is God's work right here. Okay? So I hope I didn't talk too much. God's had a lot on my heart. For those of you who heard me and Randy talking about Strong Tower, okay, another Bible study that we've been going to, Strong Tower Ministries. Apparently Kingston's heard of that too. Okay? Strong Tower Ministries, their leader backslid and stumbled about a month and change ago. Okay? Really? Tell me more later. Anyway, okay? An amazing man of God. His name is Craig. Please be praying for Craig and his family. Okay? Also be praying. Kingston's uncle is in the hospital. Okay? So be praying for Kingston's family. But anyway, Craig. Craig was an addict by nature, was in prison, and started a ministry helping people on the outside, walking them through the steps of coming out of prison and things like that. While he was inside prison, he staged a ministry behind bars that was helping people outside. That's the power of God, okay? This is a mighty, mighty man of God, okay? Mighty man of God got caught slipping. It happens, okay? His name is Craig something. I don't remember his last name. I think it's Reed. Anyway, but he got caught stumbling. He had to step out, and his family, as you all have seen, winds up getting punished for that also. It's a very rough thing. But here's the cool part. I'm not trying to like weigh you down with bad information, okay? So Craig slipped. Me and Randy were in they have these little small groups. This is about maybe 5 days, maybe a little less, after my dad came home, okay? So anyway, there's a guy there who's known Craig who was in prison with him. And he says, I was on the bus home from work, and God just kept telling me to ride the bus. He said, just ride the bus. Just keep riding the bus. And he said, I don't know why. I wanted to go home. I was tired. I'd worked all day. He just said, ride the bus. So he said, I kept riding the bus. And then all of a sudden, I remembered where I was. And I was in Craig's neighborhood. And he said, Craig had embezzled some money from what I take out of it and used it for drugs and things like that. Doesn't really matter. Whatever your sin is, it doesn't matter. Everybody, basically at this point, everybody's mad at Craig, and nobody's talking to Craig or his family. And this guy who served with him was also one of those people who was mad. He says, I'm riding the bus, and then I'm in front of Craig's neighborhood. And God says, get off the bus. He says, okay. He said, so I grabbed my Bible like I do all the time. I just walked up to Craig's door, walked up, and Craig was there. He says, I gave Craig a hug, and we just read the Bible together. He said, I just loved on him. He said, what he did for me, I did for him. He says he was the one that gave us somewhere to go. Therefore, I give him somewhere to go because he felt like he couldn't go back to his church because he had felt scorned and all these different things, rightfully so. But he said, that's not what this is about. He said, so I was, just kind of thinking these things and I just looked at him and I said, so what you're trying to say is that God told you to leave the 99 sheep and go chase the one. And he said, that's exactly what I'm saying. And the leaders that were in our group were like, man, that's right on. And so later, those guys went over to Craig's house afterwards and started just reading the Bible with Craig and just letting him know, Craig, you're just a man, okay? We get it, okay? 2 Sundays later, Craig walks into the church again, and they welcome him with open arms. This was last Sunday. So they welcome Craig with open arms, and his family is taken care of again. So, amen. Praise God. Lord God, I thank you for today. Lord God, I pray with the families who are on the street today. I pray for those who are homeless. I pray for those who are hurting. I pray for those who are broken. Put them in our paths and give us boldness to know what to do, Father. Lord, I pray that you keep humbling us and showing us where our heart is at. And I pray that you keep polishing those edges of those things that we are holding on to. I just pray that you keep perfecting us, God. Lord, I pray for the hearts of everybody in this room, starting with myself. I just pray that you keep me humble. I just pray that I don't ever think that I know what a miracle looks like. I just pray that you just keep putting them in front of my eyes and just showing me how to walk. Lord God, I thank you for the miracles that we're seeing. And I thank you for this church. And I just pray that we can just keep being the love of God. Nothing more. Lord, don't ever let us think that we have all the answers. Don't ever let us think that we're well-educated enough to reason someone into knowing you. But let us hang on to that old rugged cross, stained with blood in our sins. Lord God, I thank you for sending your Son to die for sinners and refuse. But God, you picked us up and made us perfect, made us sanctified, and made us holy. God, I thank you so much for the work that I can feel that you're doing inside of me and everybody in this church. Nobody's perfected, but in you we are perfect. God, I can see it changing people's hearts, creating zeal and passion in people who have been dead like a jellyfish and apathetic. I can see passion arising. Lord God, give us passion and purpose. Let us be the love of God to those who need it, and let us keep being perfected in you. Just let us hang on to you and nothing else, Father. Whatever else we have to lose, we don't care. Just let us hang on to you. Lord, I pray that you give us swift hands in putting these bags together and that you put who's supposed to be in our path over the next couple of weeks. Lord God, I thank you for what you've done in this body. I thank you for what you've done in every single family who's represented here. Lord God, I thank you for making dry bones come back to life. I just pray that you guide our steps, Father. Amen.